Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's my night. Good. That was a good one. I thought we could say it again. Well, good to be back with y'all. Praise God. Seriously, it's good to be back here in Augusta, back at Good News, and pulling into town. It's always, even late at night, Jocelyn and I always have good feelings and thankful for everything God did here. Amen. This time last summer, we were in Insight, and can you believe it's been a year? It's amazing, and here we are. Praise God. But I didn't have time in advance, but I see some of our Insight students here tonight. So let's get together sometime this week during the meetings, Insight students, and let's share again like we did last time we were in town and visit. Amen. We've been having a good time. My name's Jeremy Gall. For I see some new faces here, and this is like family here, and we've had a good time together, and we are family, and accomplished a lot together in Jesus' name, and we're so thankful for Good News and all that God's doing here. I wish there was a lot more churches like Good News, and we're so thankful for how people are being trained up here to not just know about Jesus and know the Good News, but how to share it with others, and that other people would come to a knowledge of it. People are empowered here, empowered to give life, amen, to give the life of Jesus Christ to others, the greatest adventure you could ever know, being empowered to give life. Let me tell you, God's got a good plan for you. Some people, they think about God's plan and they think, oh, is he going to ask me to do something I wouldn't want to do, like go to Africa, or oh, wouldn't that be boring just to follow God's plan for my life? Listen, God's got the greatest adventure for you that you could ever imagine. He's got exciting things for you. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The more you taste of him, the more you want of it. And the more you see, boy, this is exactly what I was born for. This is exactly what I wanted out of life all along. That's what God has for you. That's his plan for you. Amen? And I'm thankful that here at Good News Church, that's what they're training up people to do, to live that adventure with Jesus and to get as many other people as they can to live it too. Amen? Turn with me, if you will, tonight to the book of James. James chapter 4. And we're going to actually start in verse 1. Sorry, Grayson. And we'll read down to, you asked me what scripture we were going to use. I added to it. But we're going to end and focus on verse 8. So let's read James chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. And here it says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. But what I want to focus on out of that whole passage is the beginning of verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Can we all say that together? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Amen. Just been meditating on this for the last couple days, thinking about it on the way driving down here. And I just believe God's speaking this to us here tonight. And I want to just dig into that, just that phrase in scripture. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Just tell you some things that have been happening lately. We're so thankful. A lot of good things happening. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that right? He is still a miracle worker today. Now, just last Sunday was Father's Day. And for those of you who remember, last Father's Day, I was here with you. And a young man was here named Vinny. And he had a deaf ear. Left ear was totally deaf. He had a tumor in that ear. And doctors had cut it out 6 years before, prior. So 7 years ago now. Cut that tumor out. In the process, left him deaf. They knew that would happen. He couldn't hear out of that ear. And as he sat in his seat, and we commanded in Jesus' name, that ear opened up and he could hear. And I don't know what had to happen. I don't know if he had to have created in his ear whatever the doctors cut out, or God enabled him to hear without it. Either way, that was impressive. Amen. And either way, God's able to get the job done. Well, it was interesting because I told Vinny's story, this past Sunday. It was my first time at this church. up in Canfield, Ohio. And I was preaching there for the first time, shared that story and some others. There was a woman there, 78 was she, Jocelyn? 79 years old, totally deaf in her left ear. She sat in her seat and we prayed. She heard a pop, she said, and God opened that ear. Amen. And then we went and we prayed for it. Well, here's what happened. Then after the service, she told Jocelyn the testimony. She said, I was sitting in my seat. I heard a pop and I could hear, but it's muffled, she said. So Jocelyn continued to minister to her and commanded, but, you know, test in both ears, and her face lit up and God opened up that ear the rest of the way. Amen. So we're thankful. Aren't you glad that this isn't just something, you know, the miracles and power of Jesus is not just something that just kind of every once in a while just pops up and then you don't hear about it for a generation. No, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you woke up this morning, it was today. And today is a day that Jesus is the same. Amen. When you wake up tomorrow morning, it'll be today. And it'll still be a day that Jesus works miracles. It'll still be a day that He loves you. It'll still be a day that nothing's impossible for Him. Amen. Every day that Jesus is alive is a good day, because He's always the same and He can do whatever you need Him to do. Praise God. So any day you wake up is a good day. Some other things you might have heard, I think we talked about, there was last time we were here back in March a few months ago, we prayed for a woman named Sally. She was in a wheelchair. She hadn't walked in a year and a half. And it was, again, my first time at this church. We walked in. She said she had a dream and saw Jocelyn and I in the dream, and she saw me pray for her, and Jocelyn and I ministered to her. She remembered because of my glasses, hadn't walked in a year and a half. Doctor said her legs didn't work anymore. We commanded in Jesus' name. She got up and walked in the service. And she, not only was she able to walk, but she was able to breathe because she was on this breathing machine, and she couldn't, you know, she couldn't walk if she didn't have a breathing problem, but with the breathing problem, it was even, you know, multiplied the difficulties. She got up and walked. Her son lived in a downstairs apartment, and he hadn't been able, it wasn't accessible by wheelchair. She had just decided that she was not going to see that apartment because she couldn't get to it with her wheelchair. But that afternoon after the service, she walked down those stairs, had lunch at her son's apartment for the first time because God enabled her legs to walk. Praise God. Jesus still does those kind of things. He still causes lame legs to walk. He still causes deaf ears to hear. This is still what He does. He is the same. And I love it because these things represent to man, they represent impossibility. They represent something that cannot be moved. They represent something that there is no answer to in the natural. That is where man's ability has stopped short of finding an answer to these things. But Jesus has an answer. He always has for 2,000 years, and He still has that answer today. So I've got good news for you. Jesus has the answer for whatever it is you're facing. Amen. And I like to share this often. You know, there was a man in the Bible named Lazarus. He had been dead for 4 days. Jesus came to him and He was able to help him. He raised him from the dead. And as I scan the room today, I don't know all the problems represented here, but I do know this. It looks to me like everybody here is at least 4 days ahead of Lazarus. Amen. That's good news. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're at least 4 days ahead of him. I don't know what you're facing, but if Jesus could help Lazarus, looks to me like He could help you too. Praise God. Amen. I take comfort in that. I don't know about you. You know, people, the devil try to tell you it's too late. You could just answer back, no, it's not. He helped Lazarus. He could still help me. If it wasn't too late for him, I'm still breathing. Amen. I'm still, praise God, I'm awake. He was able to help Lazarus. He could still help me. Everybody say it. Say, He can still help me. And He can. Now, the Bible says, as we read tonight, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Well, what does it mean to be near to God? I've been thinking about this. You know, I haven't really preached it quite like this. I know I've touched on it different times, but I've been thinking about it. What does it mean to be near to God? You know, I think about, like, just now we're near to the Judds. We're here with the Judds. And as there's some certain things about being near somebody. You know, what you could text somebody or you could do Skype with them when they're at a distance, but it's different when you're near to someone. One, isn't it? You could hear their voice. You could make contact with them. Bless God. You don't just hear, you could see them with your eyes. You could touch them with your hands. And they're right there. There's something about being near, isn't there? Bible says draw near to God. You know, when you're near somebody, you could hear their voice clearly. Amen? It's not muffled. It's not, you know, sometimes I know what we live up by Lake Erie, and we're right at the end of, like, the United States, literally. We're 43 miles from Canada. So, and then, you know, right out the front of my house is Lake, so we're at the end of the cell phone towers. It's so frustrating because our signal is so shoddy there, you know. People will call and they'll come in and out, and it's really, you know, really bad cell phone there. So when somebody's at a distance, sometimes you get broken off, you know. I remember when my brother was in Iraq, he'd call me on satellite phone. You know, have you ever talk on satellite phone? And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you say something and then go make a sandwich and wait for, come back for the response, you know. It's like, it's like you say something and then they get it after a while, then they say something back, you know. It's different when somebody's far away than when they're near, isn't it? Now when he lives just a few hours away, he's down in Quantico, Virginia, and it's closer, but when I'm with him, I'm going to go there from here, it's even closer still. It's a different experience when you're with somebody, when you're near to them. Amen? Be near to God. Now, the Bible says some other things about it. Jesus went around, and Jesus basically demonstrated to us in the Gospels what it looks like to be near to God. Because he said, we told the disciples when they go out and work miracles and different things happen, he says, give them this explanation. The kingdom of God is drawn nigh or near unto you. Or the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's close. In fact, the very name of Jesus is what? Emmanuel, which is God with us. When you're with somebody, you're close to him. Jesus shows us what it means to be near to God, doesn't he? Amen? You see, in Jesus, he was God with us. He still is God with us. Not God at a distance, not God somewhere off in legend somewhere. People have this idea that God's off in the distance, that he hides in the background. No, we see in Jesus what it looks like to have God with you. He's right there, amen? Speaking to you, miracles happen. The impossibility becomes possible. Things happen that man say could never happen. That's what it's like when God is near to you. And the Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, draw near to him. I'm excited about it, man. Jesus said when he's God with us, he said this, the kingdom of God. Now, if the kingdom of God is there, God is there. God's rule, God's reign. It's within reach. It's drawn nigh unto you. It's drawn near unto you. So then this is what it looks like. You've got to know what it looks like to be near to God, because you don't want to make the mistake of just thinking, well, I'm there. Let me give an example. We realize there's some certain new birth realities that we have. We know this, that when you call on the name of Jesus, you are born again and you're made a new creature. Isn't that right? He comes to live inside of us. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. If you've called on Jesus' name, he's with you. He hasn't left you. He never will leave you. Doesn't matter what you feel like. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Jesus is with you. Praise God. And we know that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he is a comforter. He stays with us. And then greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he's always in us. And he's always there. And we always have a proximity to him. He's always with us. And we need to be mindful of that. And we need to remember that. So in James, I don't believe that he was talking about being born again, because he was talking to people that already were born again. So there had to be something more he was talking about. Now, I think about the woman with the issue of blood. What, you know, one of my favorite stories, and I love to preach on it often. Jesus is walking through this crowd. Everybody was close to him. The disciple said, what do you mean, who touched you? When Jesus said, somebody touched me, they said, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. You're in this crowd. You're bumping into everybody. There was a lot of people that were close to him, but there was just one woman who actually experienced who he was and what he had to offer. It was a different kind of closeness, wasn't it? I mean, it was a different kind of touch. Everybody was bumping into him, but one woman bumped into him with the touch of faith. Amen. And it's the same thing when Jesus says, draw near to God and I'll draw near to you. I think it's easy for us to say, well, I'm a Christian, so I know God is in us. That is true. We should never forget that. We should keep that before us at all times. It should always be on your lips. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't forget it. Amen. But yet at the same time, we should see in the scriptures that there is an experience that comes with being close to God. There is a reality that comes with being close to God that we should not neglect, or we should not forfeit, or we should not do without. Amen. See, I look in the lives of the disciples and I see what it looked like to be close to God. When they were hanging out with God, when they had a need, whether it was a tax need, they went fishing, that's miraculous. Their tax need was met. Amen. If they had a food need and they needed to feed even thousands of people, a miracle took place and that need was met. I see that the people who hung out with God, their needs were met. Miraculously, their needs were met. Talking about drawing near to God tonight, their needs were met miraculously. It it didn't matter if it had to come out of a fish's mouth. It didn't matter if it had to come out of thin air and they had to multiply what they had. But the needs were met. Amen. Everybody, when you live close to God, God will meet your needs. Amen. So their needs were met, no matter what it was. I see that as they live close to God, they heard the voice of God. Just like when you're close to a person, when you're close to God, you hear the voice of God. Amen? When you're near to God. The Bible says His sheep hear His voice, they know His voice, and they follow His voice. Did you know that God's speaking to you tonight? He wants to give you direction. He wants you to hear His voice. I see another thing that happens as these people were close to God, that miracles took place. Healing miracles. Sickness and disease was obliterated. There was nothing too hard. There was nothing too big. There was nothing too difficult. The sickness was destroyed everywhere Jesus went. Aren't you glad for that? That people were healed wherever Jesus went. This was just part of God being with them. The kingdom of God drawing nigh, being within reach. And we look at Jesus and we say, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. And you've got to have a standard, don't you? You see, you think about it. I think about when Jesus ministered to the blind man. And we've used this a lot because He ministered to the blind man. He prayed for him once. And do you remember one of the blind men He prayed for? And He saw men like trees. Do you remember that story? He prayed for him and He said, I see men like trees. And then He prayed for him again. And he was able to see clearly and perfectly. How many remember the story? Raise your hand so I could see it. Jesus, this man, He prayed for him twice. Now, I've realized that if Jesus prayed for somebody twice, sometimes we'll have to pray for somebody at least twice. Amen. Jocelyn was ministering in a Women's Aglow meeting not too long ago. It's like a Pentecostal women's group. And there was one that was in Ashtabula. They invited her to come and speak. Woman came forward. She had a tumor on her chest. I don't know if it was a tumor or growth. Excuse me. But just a growth protruded from the center of her chest. You know, and it had been there for about a year and a half. About the size of a 50-cent piece. How many remember 50-cent pieces? Raise my hand. Is there anybody who doesn't know what a 50-cent piece is? It's like, is that like talking about milk bottles now or something, you know? So, 50-cent piece. They've been out of circulation for a while, but it's about, you know, a little bigger than a quarter. So anyhow, she had this growth on her chest, protruding from the center of her chest. Jocelyn prayed for it once. Didn't seem like much change. Prayed for it again. Started to get a little smaller. Prayed for it a couple more, you know, then prayed for it some more. It got to be about half that size. After five times, everybody say five times. It was gone. It disappeared. It vanished. It had been there for a year and a half, and then it went somewhere else. Praise God. Don't know where it went, but it wasn't on her anymore. That's all that matters. Amen. Jesus can do that. Well, there's something that I want you to see here, that there was a standard that Jocelyn had set before of what was right, of what was supposed to be, and it wasn't that lump being at 50%. It wasn't it being a little smaller, but she set her eyes on it being totally gone. Jesus had the same thing with this blind man. He said, he'd prayed for him and he said, well, I see men like trees. He could have stopped there. That would have been something. Isn't that right? I mean, it's miraculous. Somebody who hasn't seen in their whole life, it's miraculous. Now, you know, sometimes there's another side to this coin. You know, the Bible talks about despise not small beginnings, doesn't it? And often we talk about it with ministries, you know, despise not small beginnings or something that God's doing to church or whatever, despise not small beginnings. I think of that myself sometimes with miracles. I despise not small beginnings. Amen. I tell people, if He can move it a little, He can move it a lot. Isn't that right? I mean, if I pray for somebody and they feel a little better, I don't despise that. I say, God's moving. Something is changing here. I'm not discouraged because it's not all gone, but I look at it and I say, boy, I don't despise that. It's supernatural. Something is happening here that couldn't have happened if God didn't get involved and if God wasn't changing the circumstances. Well, this is the thing, you know, so Jesus prays for this blind man and he could see men like trees. Well, you don't want to despise that, but at the same time, you don't want to stop there. He says, well, I see men like trees. No, Jesus had in His heart what it was supposed to look like and how the man was supposed to see. And Jesus didn't stop exercising His authority. He didn't stop exercising His faith until it was exactly how He thought it should be. You hearing me tonight? Now, sometimes we need to apply that same kind of logic to our relationship with the Lord. We need to thank God if we're seeing men like trees. We need to thank God that God's moving enough in our life that there's something happening. But the Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. If we don't want to stop with men like trees, amen? I think about even, you know, my ministry vision. And it's pretty good if I see men like trees. I could see some of it. So, you know, I could see it. Yeah, there it is. And there's some of it that's come into clarity. I could see some of it. But you don't stop there. You don't sit back and say, well, this is it, because it's not it. You keep pressing on until the vision is clear, exactly like God wants it to be. Amen. Maybe it's your relationship with the Lord. Yes, you're born again. Yes, He lives inside of you. But there is a level that He wants you to experience Him on. Amen. And you might be seeing men like trees, but I want you to know tonight, God has more for you. You look at what it was like to hang out with Jesus. Jesus wants to hang out with you like that today. You look at what it was like to have Jesus come over to your house back 2,000 years ago. That's what it should look like with Jesus in your house today. Amen. Miracles took place. They had peace. They had joy. They had provision. They had healing. They had God speaking to them. They had revelation. They had good things going on. Bless God. He wants no less for you tonight. Jesus, if you're born again, then He moved into your house, and it should look just like He went to anybody else's house in Scripture. Amen. Man, I'm excited tonight. Anybody else excited? Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm excited. Make it a confession. Good, good. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, you're excited in Jesus' name. Good. Make it a command. Good, good. Good. I'm stirred up. I'm preaching myself happy, like they say. I don't use that one. So, amen. I'm glad I came tonight. I don't know about you. So, amen. So you see, Jesus, amen, He has a vision for your life, and it's good. It's awesome, and it's exciting, and you don't want to stop short of what He has for you. Let's look at that scripture again. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. I see that it depends on us. Everybody say, it depends on me. Doesn't say God's just gonna come in and invade your, see everybody, we take such a passive view of it. Well, I guess, you know, and if somebody just has a real manifestation of power in some area of their life, or God's really moving in some way, we say, oh, that's their call. They're, you know, they're an evangelist, that's why they're going out and winning souls. Or they're praying for the sick and seeing people healed. Oh, that's because they have a healing anointing. And we dismiss all these things to some special, sovereign thing of God. When all it is maybe they've just drawn close to God in that area, and He has that for all of us. Amen. Oh, we talk about, well, that woman, she's a prayer warrior. Listen, God wants everybody to pray, and He wants to speak to all of us in prayer. Are you hearing me tonight? And if you draw near to Him, He'll draw it near to you. See, we sit back and have this very passive attitude of, well, if God wanted me to have it, He'd just kind of move in and force it down my throat, and then I'd know it was from God, you know. Isn't that how it's believed in a lot of places? Well, if God wants me to have it, He'll just do it. You know, some people, they think, well, like praying for the sick and healing. Well, you know, He's given you this healing anointing, or He'll just give you a special healing anointing, and people say that kind of things. I think it didn't come to me that way. You know, it wasn't like I just bumped into somebody in the mall and they got out of a wheelchair. And I said, oh my Lord, what happened? You know, I guess I've got a healing ministry. You know, or, you know, brushed past my grandmother in the hallway and she, you know, or deafness left her ear or something like that. Are you hearing me? Oh, wow, I guess God's using me in healing. What a surprise. No, I saw it in the Word one day when I was studying. I saw in John 14:12, Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, would they do also. And before I saw one miracle, I just stepped out in faith saying, Father, you said this in your Word. I believe your Word is true. I expect you to do what you said. And bless God, I launched out on nothing but the Word. No feelings, no angels appeared in my room, you know. Just stepped out on what Jesus said. Did you know that you could step out on what Jesus said? Amen? Stepped out on what Jesus said, and you know what was on the other side of that step of faith? A miracle was on the other side of that step of faith. And we prayed for 5 people that Sunday morning, and 5 of them were instantly healed. The first time I took a step out on that scripture. Never saw it before. God didn't speak to me individually anything besides what He already spoke to me right here in this book. Amen? See, so many of these things we think, well, if God would, you know, if he wanted me to have it, it would just fall on me, and kind of like it's going to take us by surprise someday. You know, miracles, they don't, 99% of the time, miracles, they'll take some people by surprise, but they don't take everybody by surprise. Somebody was believing God for it. Amen. And so much of this is just simply what we're talking about in this scripture. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Amen. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Some of these things we're talking about, it's nothing more simply other than symptoms, authority, hearing God's voice, miraculous provision. It's nothing more than just your proximity to God. Well, what are you talking about, Jeremy? I'm born again. God lives inside of me. I think it's more about our proximity in our thinking, in our speaking, and in our believing. Amen? Everybody say thinking,
thinking.
Speaking. Believing. You know, the Bible talks about there's some people who they drew close with their mouth, but they were far away in their hearts. Did you know that you could be close in one place, but everything has to be close? Amen. Well, how do you draw near to God in your thinking? How do you draw near to God in your speaking? How do you draw near to God in your believing? You think what his word says. You say what his word says. Amen. And you believe what his word says. Amen. Everybody turn to your neighbor again and say, draw near to God. But I see here in this scripture that we have something to do with it. We have to draw near. He says, you draw near. He didn't say, I'm just going to come in and I'm going to invade your life. You draw near to God. Everybody again say, I've got to do it. He said, draw near to God. He said, you can do it. But there's another good thing I see in this scripture. You can do it. Everybody say, I can do it. He wouldn't have asked us to do something that we couldn't do. If he told us to draw near to him, that means we can, bless God. Hallelujah. That means we could do something about how much we experience God. We could do something about how much he's a reality in our life. We could do something about how much we hear his voice. We could do something about how effective we are in reaching out with this power to other people. We could do something about the darkness around us. We could do something about experiencing God in a real way. We can draw near to God. He said, draw near to me. Boy, that's an empowering scripture there. You want to talk about empowerment? That's right there. That means you can do it. That means tonight you could be closer to God when you leave than when you walked in the door. In your experience, amen. You could be closer to him. You could have a greater experience of him than when you walked in here. By the end of these meetings, by the end of the weekend, you could be further along. You could look back at when they started and say, boy, look where I was then. Amen. Next year, if the Lord was to tarry, you could look back and say, look at how much closer I am in my life to the Lord than I was this time last year. He said, draw near. That means you can do it. This helping anybody tonight? Now, the first step, of course, is being born again. You've got to call on the name of Jesus. Sin separated us from God. That's why we're going out and sharing the gospel with people. Sin was a barrier that stood between us and God. Thank God, God obliterated that barrier. Amen. Jesus, that we died on the cross, we saw it in that video. He paid it in full. The debt that separated us from God, the debt that we owed, Jesus paid for it with his blood. But then you see, then thank God, that's the first step. That's what we tell people. Listen, this is the first step. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do about how he died for you on the cross? And that's the only thing that stands between people and eternal separation from God is the blood of Jesus. And he made a way. And that's the first step in drawing near to God. But you know, after you call on Jesus' name, there is a nearness that he wants you to experience everything that he is and everything that he has. And we can always draw near to God in our experience. Amen. Always. He's got good things for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's got good things for you. He's got a great adventure for you. A great life in him. Well, missing hell, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good thing. Amen. Missing eternal punishment, that's good. That if we just stop there, that would be enough, wouldn't it? But then on top of that, he's got heaven for us to spend eternity with him. But then we've got this in-between time, this place, earth, that's somewhere between heaven and hell. And it kind of has a little bit of each in it, doesn't it? It does, absolutely. I mean, you look around and you could get a taste of hell and you could get a taste of heaven right here on earth. It's almost that in-between place, you know. But you see, even here, God says, Jesus told us to pray this way, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when we're in heaven, we're close to God. We'll see him face to face, the Bible tells us. And thank God, Jesus made the way for us to go there, to go where there's no separation, not sin, but not even the veil. You see, for believers, there's no sin that separates us anymore, but the Bible does talk about a veil that eventually will be taken away when we go and spend eternity with him in heaven. Isn't that right? You know, I think it's true, that old song. How many, anybody remember this song from, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, you know? And kind of the Word of Faith churches have kind of scoffed on that. But listen, folks, there's a reality there. Are you hearing me tonight? There is a victory in heaven that we will never experience on this earth. That's just a fact of the matter. There's no way around it. Yes, we can taste of it here. We could see through the veil. But there will be an overcoming that happens when we step through those gates, when we step into eternity with God, that will be nothing like anything that's possible for us to experience here. You hearing me tonight? We'd be good not to forget that. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Bless God, I'm going to be shouting. I know that. How about you? Amen. There is a victory in heaven, praise God, that is greater than anything we'll be able to experience on this earth. Yet, at the same time, Jesus said, pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can get close, we can experience him to a degree here on this earth, in a great way. That's God's intention for us. Amen. We could have a taste of heaven even while we're still here on the earth. We could experience the victory of heaven to a degree even while we're here on this earth. Isn't that good news? And you think about that. Doesn't that fit with what he was saying? When Jesus came, he said the kingdom of God was at hand. And everywhere Jesus went, it looked something like heaven, didn't it? All of a sudden, sickness was destroyed. People's sins were forgiven. The works of the devil were destroyed everywhere he went. Amen. People got a taste of heaven. The works of hell and darkness were obliterated. And I believe this is what God's will this is God's will for us here on earth. We could see it clearly in scriptures that wherever Jesus went, he exemplified what he wanted people's life to look like on earth, even before they get to heaven. Freedom, provision, his miraculous power working in their life. And kind of like the blind man, Jesus assessed the situation. He said, what do you see? He said, well, I see men like trees. Jesus said, all right, you're almost there. But then Jesus pressed on a little further. I believe we all need to assess our lives like that. We need to take a look at our lives and say, okay, here's the standard. This is what it looks like to walk with Jesus. And then we say, all right, but you know what? It can be better. How many are thankful for everything God's done in your life, but you say, you know what? It could be better. My hand's up. Now listen, this isn't a condemnation message tonight. Nobody get condemned. This is a, it could be better message. Amen. This isn't a, it's bad. This is, it's good, but why not better? Turn to your neighbor and say, it could be better. And that's a good thing. Amen. I thank God for how much I've heard his voice. But you know what I see in the word? I could hear his voice more. I believe he wants to talk to me more. I believe he wants to talk to you more. I thank God for every person that's been helped through our ministries. We've prayed for them as we've ministered in the name of Jesus. But I know that he could do more through us than we've yet seen him do. I know he could do more through you than you've yet seen him do. Thank God for every victory you've had as we've gone out on the streets and as you've prayed for people. But bless God, there's more he wants to do in your life. There's greater victories than you've yet experienced. And we don't want to call the men like trees the end of the story, but we want to keep pressing on for the fullness of everything that he has for us. Amen. Now listen, this is the stuff that was stirring on my heart all day, and I'm praying about it, and I'm thinking about this, you know, draw near to God and he'll draw near to me. And then we're driving out here tonight, and Jesus says, you know, we had a prayer meeting this afternoon, and Jocelyn says to me, the Lord gave me a word, and I don't know if, you know, we should share it or not, but he just gave me this word when we were praying today, and she shared it. I'm going to have her share it right now. But it was like, oh boy, this fits perfect. So Jocelyn, why don't you share it? Tell them what the Lord told you today. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. There are those that thought, oh, just another impact meeting, like everyone before. But draw close. Press in for more than you've seen before. For greater is there for you to see. Don't settle for past results, past victories. Press in for all I have for you. You have only seen a touch of what is possible. You have only experienced a drop of the downpour that I want to flood this church with. But don't settle, but expect more. Because more is to be had. The only reason people don't see more is because they don't require it. require the more this week. For great I have in store. Will you pursue it? There are great races to run. I am always running. Will you run with me? So praise God. That's God speaking to you. Don't just think of that as just a vague message, but think of that as God speaking directly to you. Because I believe I was praying and just not expecting really, you know, to hear anything like that. And all of a sudden I got this and I just felt like it was for this service specifically. I thought about sharing, you know, was when we were praying and it just wasn't right. So just know that was for you specifically. Think of the more that he wants to have you experience in your life. Think of the more, people that need to hear the gospel message this week. Think of what is it? Give life. Is that what this, the I Give Life Challenge. Think of the more that you need to reach during the I Give Life Challenge. Because there are more. There are more.
Praise God. Yeah, amen. No, it's good. No, it's good. Praise God. But did you hear that word? I mean, you know, it's not like I said, here's what I'm preaching about tonight. She had no idea. And then she tells me on the way over here, she says, look at what, you know, the Lord just spoke a little something to me, you know, during prayer today. And do you think God's talking to us? I mean, I know what he put on my heart, then here he's talking to Jocelyn. There's more. Everybody say again, there's more. See, if Jesus would have just said, how do you see? He said, I see men like trees. He would have said, well, that's good, praise God, better than you were. And left him. Man could have went his whole life just seeing men like trees. Jesus said, that's good, but let's keep applying the pressure. Let's go on for the fullness of it. Amen. Amen. Is God speaking to anybody's heart here tonight? Good. He's got more for you this week. He's got good things for you. Draw near to God. I see that it's something that we could do. You can do that. Again, say it. I say, I can do it. You can draw near to God. It's something that I see God partners with us in. He says, if you take a step, I'll take a step. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. It's something that he's on your side. He wants to be close to you, and he's going to move closer to you as you move closer to him. Amen. Now listen, again, we're not talking about salvation issues tonight. We're not talking about being born again. You're born again. I'm thankful for it. But the Apostle Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, said this in the book of Philippians chapter 3 in the Amplified Version. He said, it is my determined purpose to know him and the power flowing from his resurrection. This is a guy who knew something about God. He wrote a lot of the New Testament, but he still said there was more to know. And he said at the church of Ephesus, already believers, already born again, he prayed this prayer called the Ephesians prayer. Ephesians chapter 1 starts in verse 16. And one of the things he prays, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know him, that you would have, that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. These are people that are born again. But he says, there's more for you. And you see, we just can't sit back and passively say, well, this is it. But we've got to draw near to God. And we've got to say, I want more of what he has for me. It's something that you could do. It's something that takes a decision. You just say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a step. And it's something where God meets you every step of the way. Amen. Our lives can be different. Man, I'm excited. I'm thankful for everything God's done in my life, but I know there's more. Boy, this was a transforming thought in my life. The real turning point in my life was just getting this thought that God would answer, you know, that anything that God had done for somebody else, he would do for me. In the sense of like that, you know, if he would keep his word to me just like to Smith Wigglesworth or to somebody else. I mean, this transformed my life. That God would answer my prayers. Boy, that transformed my life. That if I stood in faith on God's word, he would do it for me. He would answer, he would watch over his word to perform it in my life. Not just somebody else's life. Not just, you know, television preacher guy, but that if I stood on his word, he'd do it for me, no matter what it was, no matter how big it was, no matter what needed to move for it to happen. God would keep his word to me, just like to anybody else. And I want you to get that thought tonight. God will keep his word to you. He'll answer your prayers. There's great things ahead. If you'll just reach out, take that step towards God, he's got things for you greater than you've ever imagined. I'm talking to everybody here tonight. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. He's got something for you. He's got exciting things for you. It's always going to involve reaching out to people and giving life. The mission statement of the church. It's always going to involve reaching out to somebody, stepping, doing something for somebody else. But listen, you'll enjoy it so much. It'll just be the fullest life that you've ever lived. It's always going to involve peace. It's always going to involve good things. He's got good things for you. Amen. Now we're going to minister to the sick here tonight. I'm going to close with this. one of these things where it says, what does it look like to be near to God? When Jesus came near, he told him, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, tell him the kingdom of God is at hand. This is part of what it looks like to be near to God. Amen. When we're in heaven, as close to God as we're able to get in our experience, not just him living inside of us, but we'll see him face to face as he is, no more veil. When we're in heaven, how many believe there's no sickness in heaven? And it's amazing, when Jesus came to earth, the closer people got to heaven, sickness just kind of vanished, you know, just kind of went away. Just like darkness does when you use a flashlight or light a campfire or light a candle and turn up a lantern and turn up the wick. And all of a sudden that light spreads out. The darkness just kind of vanishes. When Jesus, he's the light of the world. As he came, it was amazing. Everywhere he went, that sickness just kind of went away. It's part of the package, isn't it? Well, we're going to minister to the sick tonight. But before we do that, I just want to take some actions in faith on this scripture. We're going to do a couple things. We're going to pray for three things. One of them, we're going to pray for the sick tonight. But before that, I want to just give you an opportunity to release your faith and put some action to what we preached about tonight and just take a step closer to God. It's just something that happens from your heart, and it could happen from your mouth. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up here in just a moment. If you can, if it's more comfortable for you to sit, feel free. But if you can, stand up. Stand to your feet. Praise God. And praise the Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Father. We just thank you tonight. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. It's something you can do. It's something that you can do as a believer. If you're a believer here tonight, thank God he's in you, but you could still draw near to him. Amen. You can draw near to him with your heart. You can draw near to him with your mind. You could draw near to him with your mouth, and you can experience him in a greater way than you have before. Now let's just do that tonight. If this is spoken to your heart and God's speaking to you, and I believe that he's saying something here tonight to people by his spirit. He spoke to Jocelyn, gave her that word, spoke to me to minister along these lines. And I think he's speaking to us that I know that he has more for us here tonight. He has more for every person, but it's kind of like the ball is in our court. And I'm telling you that if you'll just take some steps in faith and just move towards God with your heart and say, God, I want more. Hallelujah. If that's your heart tonight, just cry out to God as we pray. Father, we just thank you that you've got more for every one of us. We thank you, Father, that there's greater adventures with you than we've yet had. Father, we thank you that we can walk closer to you. We could be more effective for you than we've been before. Father God, we thank you for every victory that we've had in our personal life. We thank you for every healing. We thank you for every time you've set us free. We thank you for saving us, Father. But Lord, we thank you that there's more. Hallelujah. There's always, see throughout the Bible, this hunger in people. We see Elisha. Elisha came to the prophet Elijah, and he said, I don't want as much as you had, but I want more. Father, there was this hunger. There was this pursuit. He said, Father, I know that you're able to do more. And Lord, we say that tonight. We thank you for everything you've done in our life. We thank you for everything that you've done in these impact meetings. But we contend for more tonight, Father. We ask you to do more in us and through us. As the teams go out on the street, Father, we're thankful for everything we've done, but we're not satisfied. Lord, I thank you in the book of Acts in chapter 3, a man at the gate beautiful who'd never walked in his whole life. Peter took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. But Father, in chapter 4, they came back to you in prayer, and they continued to contend, and they said, Father, stretch forth your hand to heal, and grant that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. They didn't sit back and say, well, this is it, it's working, but they went to you in prayer again, and they used their faith and authority again, and they said, Father, there's so much more that needs to be done. There's so many more miracles that need to be wrought. There's more people that need your power. There's more people that need to hear your word. And they contended, Father, and they pressed in. Lord, we look at the gospel principles that Jesus spoke of. He said, knock and it'll be opened unto you. Seek and you'll find. And we thank you, Father, for what we read in James tonight. You have not because you ask not. So, Father, we come tonight and we ask, and we come tonight and we seek, and we come tonight and we knock, and we say, Father, we're thankful for everything you've done. Father, we're thankful for even men like the man who saw the men walking like trees. But Father, we realize in this day and age that there's more that you want to do in each and every person in this place. Father, I personally come to you on behalf of the people in this room. I thank you for them here. I thank you for the ministries represented here. I thank you, Father, Lord, for how they've been raised up to give life and the miracles that have been wrought by their hands. But Lord, you have more for every one of them. And I ask you, Father, to move through them this week, to move through them through these impact meetings. Father God, to take them into new dimensions and higher levels with you, Father, that they'll be able to accomplish more for your glory, that they'll be able to advance your kingdom to a greater degree, that, Father, you can be glorified in the Son in a greater way in their life. We thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.